Welcome to session 87 of the Bible in a Year commentary. If you started the series on the 1st of January, then today should be the 28th of March. Today we'll be looking at 2 Samuel 1 to 3 and Psalm 87. But so far, in 1st and 2nd Samuel, we've read through the rise of Samuel, Saul and David, and then Samuel and Saul's deaths. Samuel was born to Hannah, who gave him over to the priest Eli to serve in the tabernacle. Samuel grew up in God's presence and grew in favour with God, while Eli's own sons and the rest of Israel were disobedient and rebellious. Samuel stepped up to fill the gap and led the Israelites to repentance before defeating the Philistines, giving the Israelites a new era of peace. But as Samuel got older, the Israelites did not want his sons leading them, so they asked Samuel for a king. Samuel warned them that this king would oppress them, but they weren't interested. So Samuel gives them what they want and appoints a young man named Saul to be king. Saul started off okay, but things quickly turned south. He offered sacrifices himself when he wasn't meant to, and he made foolish and impulsive decisions that impacted the people negatively. So Samuel found a new king, a young shepherd boy, David. When Samuel anointed him, the Spirit of God left Saul and settled on David. We saw as David grew in favour with the people and with Saul's children, while Saul became unhinged by jealousy, wanting to kill David. Eventually, David fled from Saul's court, fearing for his life. But David continued to grow in favour while on the run, gathering men around him and looked to him for leadership. And in it all, David was committed to being obedient, refusing to kill Saul when he had the chance. Yesterday, we read as Saul finally died in battle against the Philistines. The king has died and a new king needs to take his place. So let's jump in with today's reading, 2 Samuel 1 to 3. At the end of 1 Samuel, we read how Saul fell on his sword and died. Here at the beginning of 2 Samuel, we read how an Amalekite claimed to be the one who killed Saul. These two stories obviously don't line up. The Amalekites have long been enemies of the Israelites and were not to be trusted. The most likely option is that the Amalekites saw Saul already dead, took the crown and the amulet from his body. He then figured if he took these to David and claimed he was the one to defeat Saul, David would reward him handsomely. Unfortunately for him, he was wrong. David is furious that this man would lay a hand on the king and has him killed. David is nothing if not a man of honour. Even though Saul has chased him down for many years, David was still going to honour him with all he had. We see this in how he mourns Saul's death. David writes a poem in his memory to honour both Saul and Jonathan. David then turns to God and asks God what to do next. Should he go home to Judah? God says yes and tells David to go to Hebron. Once there, the people of Judah came together and anointed him as their new king. It's been a long time since Samuel first anointed him as king many years ago, but now we're beginning to finally see it. His first act as king is to honour the people of Jabesh Gilead that went out their way to give Saul a proper burial. Meanwhile, the rest of Israel decide to make one of Saul's sons kings, Ish-bosheth. The two kings eventually go to war and each has a commander of his army. Ish-bosheth has Abner and David has Joab. As the two armies fight, David's army begins to win and Ish-bosheth's army begins to flee. One of Joab's brothers, Asahel, starts chasing down Abner, who is trying to escape. Eventually, Abner decides to defend himself and kills Asahel. Joab then goes to avenge his brother's death and chases down Abner. Abner calls out to him and begs him to stop fighting. He points out that if every time someone was killed, their family tried to avenge their death, then all of Israel would be fighting forever. Joab pretends to agree with Abner and stops chasing him. The war between the two nations continues on for a while. Eventually, Ish-bosheth insults his commander Abner and Abner decides to betray Ish-bosheth and hand the kingdom over to David. David agrees to Abner's help only if he can bring back David's first wife, Michal. Abner agrees, brings Michal to David, and then goes off again to convince the people of Israel to side with David. On his way, Joab hunts him down and kills him, avenging his brother Asahel. This level of deceit and murder is clearly not okay, but David never punishes Joab. This becomes a theme in David's reign. Though he is now king, it is actually the deceitful and corrupt people like Abner and Joab that have the biggest influence, all because David is never willing to bring them in line. However, David does honour Abner and publicly mourns his death, which wins him more support and favour amongst his people. That's 2 Samuel 1 to 3. Now let's look at Psalm 87. This psalm is attributed to the sons of Korah and falls into the category of praise psalm. The focus is on celebrating Jerusalem, or Zion, as the city of God. The structure is very simple. We have verses 1 to 3, great is Zion, and then verses 4 to 7, people from all nations will know God. The psalmist opens with eyes on Zion. It has been established on God's holy mountain, and so it's the place that God dwells more than any other. Lots of people speak very highly of Zion. Then we get a verse from God's perspective. There are people who know God and have a relationship with him. From Egypt, also known as Rahab, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre and Cush. In other words, there are people in all the nations that know God. and currently each one is seen as a citizen of their country. It says this one was born there. But Zion is God's city, and God will continue to establish them. And as God surveys all the people that know him, while some are born to foreign nations, God will give them citizenship in Zion. They are all part of God's kingdom. All people will be included in those who sing and dance in praise to God. The psalm is a short one, and due to the Hebrew turn of phrase, this one was born there, it can be confusing to understand. But the point of the psalm is that while Jerusalem is God's chosen place to dwell, it is his desire to bring all nations to him. While he is known as the God of Israel, all people belong to him.